Hey everyone, Stephen Cloud here. Good to be back with just another regular old episode. I'm finishing up finals in school, and by next week I'll be done. I have a ton of guests lined up, and I'm really, really excited for the future because I'm going to be engaging in some more activities that you all will find intriguing, to say the least. Going to be trying to do a lot more live events. I'm looking for a cameraman, by the way. If anyone out there is in Denver and needs some work, I'm looking for a cameraman. Can't pay you much right now, but if you believe in what I do, then it'll pay off in the end. I'm looking for the Gillette to my pen or whatever you want to call it. I just need someone that's going to stick with me. But yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on. I recently wrote an article that just got published at Liberty Hangout, and I'll link to that. The state is an evil, evil entity. It's one that I wish we could erase in an instance, but we're not going to. The death of a child, it's really an unspeakable act. It's terrible. What else can you really say about it? Alfie Evans, he died April 28th, 2018. That was just a few days ago. I think he would have been 2 years old either today or tomorrow. His birthday was just in the beginning of May. So, rest in peace, Alfie. But, obviously the government killed you. You can look at the pictures online of the military guards up there with their rifles, and they're ready to block anyone wanting to enter the hospital to protect that child or help the child. So there's really not much else to say about that. But I'm going to kind of go through the article that I wrote, and hopefully you guys get something out of it. So to start out, to be forcibly starved to death. I mean, starving must be one of the most unimaginable ways to die, because just really, really think about it. It's truly helpless. If you get shot, you can maybe rationalize that a little bit more. If like you trip and break a leg, you're actually hurt, but you're just starving to death. Really try to imagine. Now, R.J. Rummel, who was a great scholar, he died, I think, in 2014. He spent his whole life studying the effects of government and them killing people. That's effectively what they do, is kill people in the past 20th century. They've killed 262 million plus people alone. And by the way, those figures were updated, I think, in 1999. Updated now, it's probably much more. Because the way R.J. Rummel would do his research, he wouldn't just look for some broad numbers. He would compile the research. When he found new information, he'd be like, oh, I got to add this to the numbers. This wasn't calculated. So he was a true scholar. But here's the thing. If someone dies of starvation because of a court order, is this considered democide? And democide's what R.J. Rummel would consider death by government. I mean, arguably, yes. I mean, whether it gets revealed in the statistics or not, it's hard to say. I mean, the grave horror about communism and fascism, at least in my opinion, is just the unaccountable people that were just thrown overboard, shot and fell, and they fell in a ditch and they died and they were never counted. Birth certificates destroyed. Imagine the depth. And look, it's a well-known theme in the most brutal regimes that doctors eventually become barred from reporting deaths. And reporting deaths pertinent to what actually happened, not, instead of just saying they died naturally. And by the way, Holodomor killed between 5 million people. But it's hard to say. The estimates are all over the place because, again, the amount of uncountable people, how do you account for that? So by the same logic, the people that die in Holodomor in Ukraine, they died naturally because, but who would buy that logic? Now, a modern day example is, of course, Venezuela, the people there starving to death. Let me read this one instance from this one report. Doctors are censored in hospitals, too, often warned not to include malnutrition in children's medical records. Why do you think they want to do that? Well, they want to inflate the statistics. They want to make it look like, sure, people are dying, but they're dying because there's not enough socialism, right? If there was just more socialism, if there was less coup d'etats by the U.S. government, which they've participated in a lot of coup d'etats, but sometimes because the people were starving. So it's not so cut and dry. Now, continuing on, in some public hospitals, the clinical diagnosis of malnutrition has been prohibited, Dr. Hunades Urbina said. So this is a doctor saying that from Venezuela. But doctors interviewed by the Times at 9 of the 21 public hospitals said they had kept at least some count. They encountered nearly 2,800 cases of child malnutrition in the last year alone, with starving children regularly brought to emergency rooms. Nearly 400 of the children died, the doctor said. And just to reiterate the point, a lot of these children are being counted as having died naturally. It's the sickest thing. That's how communist and fascist regimes warp their statistics. You just never existed. You died of what we say you died of. Now, the death of Terry Schiavo, I personally watched this when I was a kid for my TV. And for those who didn't know, this was a case back in 2005. Years before that, by 2005, this was the third time she had been removed from her feeding tube by court order. And the point I really try to make is, you know, Michael Schiavo wanted her to stay on the feeding tube and the parents, Michael Schiavo wanted her not to be on the feeding tube, to be taken off and to die peacefully. And the parents wanted her to stay on. So whether it's irregardless of what side you're on, this is all court ordered. Just try to understand. So, I mean, obviously Terry Schiavo's feeding tube was removed for the third time and she died. This was all at the hands of the state. Hard to ignore. Now, the only situation worse than the one previously described is one involving the state and a child, namely Alfie Evans, which we discussed earlier. Now, Alfie Evans, who went on life support after being diagnosed with a neurodegenerative disorder, recently was sentenced to death, in my own words, because he was removed from his ventilator, and here's the crazy part. He was supposedly still breathing for 24 hours plus on his own. And the parents, you know, they're trying to get their child food and water. They're denied. The judge in charge of this all, Justice Anthony Radin, he had a ruling, which you can read, and I'll link to that too. Here's one little part from the ruling. Properly analyzed, Alfie's need now is for good quality palliative care. By this I mean, which will keep him as comfortable as possible at the last stage of his life. He requires peace, quiet, and privacy in order that he may conclude his life as he has lived it with dignity. So, I don't know. Reading the story, is that really what you got out of it? That he died with dignity? The parents are just stuck there helpless. They can't do anything. And like I said, you have these armed guards in front of the hospital that they're not going to let people get inside to help this child. The child needs help, but here's where it gets crazier. They were actually offering, Italy was actually offering to fly the kid over for free, give the kid treatment, and guess what the judge ruled? You know, continuing on with the ruling. It was entirely right that every reasonable option should be explored for Alfie. Now think about that, every explorable option. How about the ruling you just denied that would have saved the kid's life potentially? It's what the parents wanted. The hell do you have to do with it, Judge Radin? And going on, I am now confident that this has occurred, saying that it was a reasonable option. The continued provisions of ventilation and circumstances, which I'm persuaded is futile, now compromises Alfie's future dignity and fails to respect his autonomy. Oh, how about that? So he's autonomous when the state says he's autonomous. But in reality, he's just caged there dying. Taken off his ventilator, not being fed, suffocating, and starving to death. Now, the parents, they're helpless. Again, they're helpless by the state edict. And their final appeal, which would have allowed Italy to transfer them over, is denied. Now, one last point I'm going to note here is that there's a common theme present, especially with neurodegenerative disorders. Brain dead patients have recovered in the past. And I'm going to link to an article that just talks about a ton of these stories, but I'll give you one. In April 2012, with the insistence of his father that there was still brainwave activity, the doctors agreed to bring him out of the coma. And 5 weeks later, Thorpe left the hospital, having almost completely recovered. So he was diagnosed as being unsavable, untreatable, and what do you know? They were wrong. In a similar case in July 2013, a woman considered brain dead, quote, woke up just as her organs were about to be removed for a transplant. can you imagine you wake up and they're about to harvest your organs? So it's just crazy. So the state grants itself a monopoly of force and violence. This is what the state does. They ultimately have the final rule, the final say. This is wrong. The state is an institution of force and violence because They kill people. They've killed Alfie Evans. They've killed hundreds of millions of others. They'll kill you. This is Stephen Clyde from the Peace and Liberty Podcast. See you tomorrow. Hey everyone, please like, follow, donate, subscribe, and share. Any donations will be used to reach more people.